But even if he wasn't geographically far from God, perhaps he felt somehow spiritually or emotionally that God was distant. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that God seems like he's far away? That night after the earthquake last September, there was a blackout over the whole island. And it was a cloudless night. And all of us went out after dark and looked up at the sky. And it was an incredible starry night. You could see the Milky Way very clearly. We saw several satellites tootling across the sky, lots of constellations. We even saw some shooting stars. And when you think about each one of those stars is probably bigger than our own sun and is certainly millions of miles away, probably with their own planets circling around them. And goodness knows how far the next galaxy is. And I mean, I love astronomy for giving us some real perspective. When I look at this sky and think about the vastness of space, I think, actually, we humans are about this big. We're so small. Why would a God who made all that be interested in us on this little planet in this little corner of this particular galaxy? And yet, God is a God who hears us. He is listening. Isn't that wonderful? Sadly, when we were in Japan, I saw many people going to the temples and shrines and they'd clap their hands together to wake up the gods that they were praying to in the hope that these gods would listen to them. That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a God who listens to us. He hears us. That's a great reason to take refuge in God. He is a God who hears. Secondly, we should take refuge in God because he is strong. Look at the second half of verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. Now, it's one thing to have a God who hears to go to for refuge. But if he's a God who hears, but he's powerless to do anything, well, what use is that? But God is not, the God of the Bible is not only a God who hears us, he is a God who is strong. He's like a rock. On the east coast of Japan, there's a village called Aneyoshi. And in 1933, there was a tsunami that hit this village, Aneyoshi, and completely destroyed the village. There was only four survivors. Now, after that tsunami, the village was moved to higher ground. And they left what's called a tsunami stone. It was a 10-foot stone, like a monument stone, with a warning on it saying, don't build your homes lower than this point. Value your life more than your possessions. The stone was put where, at the high point of that tsunami. But in the quest for economic expansion and to house everyone, people did build below these tsunami stones that are scattered across the east coast of Japan. Now, in 2011, when that huge tsunami hit the coast of Japan, the people had built a sea wall to stop the tsunami. That was their compromise, if you like. They built lower down past these tsunami stones, but they built a sea wall to prevent the tsunami coming. But the tsunami on the 11th of March 2011 was so big, 10 meters high, and just swept over that sea wall and devastated vast areas of the coast, including many towns and villages. You see, they had put their trust in this sea wall, but that sea wall wasn't strong enough. It wasn't big enough. We have a friend called Rod, who is also an OMF missionary. He was living in that part of Japan at the time. And he said he was walking along a beach by the sea. But he heard the warning signs, the siren. And so he rushed up to higher ground, a cliff just by the beach. And from the safety of that cliff, he could look down and watched as this huge tidal wave swept past the beach that he'd just been walking on and kept going inland. But he was safe. He was standing on that cliff. And when that 10-meter tsunami hit that cliff, it didn't budge an inch. Because that cliff was solid. That's the kind of strength that David is saying that God has. The rock that is higher than I. It's strong. It's solid. David also describes God as being like a fortress. And when you're in battle, like David was on many occasions, you want to have a strong fortress to help you, to protect you from the enemy. That's the kind of refuge you want, isn't it? So David is saying to us, take refuge in God because he is strong. Thirdly, take refuge in God because he is gentle. Because he is gentle. You see, you might hear the idea of this refuge being a strong refuge and a fortress, and you might get the impression that this God is strong, but he's cold, he's harsh. But that's not the picture that we get here in this psalm, is it? Look at verse 4 with me. David says, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Have you ever seen chicks that have just been hatched from their eggs? Cute little fluffy things, but utterly helpless on their own. Without their mother, they're exposed to the elements, the storms, the wind and the rain, the cold. Exposed to predators, enemies who would come and just pick them off very easily. But like a mother bird sheltering her chicks, God is sheltering us. You picture those chicks. Picture what it must be like for those chicks to snuggle up to the warm side of the belly of their mother with the feather down under the wings, sheltered from the cold and the wind and rain. It's a picture of closeness, of intimacy, of warmth. You see, far from being a cold and harsh God, the God of the Bible is close and warm and intimate. He has this intimacy that we can enjoy. So take refuge in God because he is gentle. Fourthly, David wants to tell us to take refuge in God because he is generous. Because he's generous. Look at verse 5 with me. David says, for you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Now, at this point, David is living in what was the promised land for the Israelites. God had promised this land a good land, a fertile land, flowing with milk and honey. And they'd got it. God had given it to them, just as he promised. But that promised land, that good land, was just a foretaste of a promised land that awaits all of us who trust in the Lord Jesus. A new heaven and a new earth that will last forever. God is generous. He is giving us a promised land that will last forever. Not only that, it says in the New Testament, in James 1, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from God the Father. Jesus says in Matthew that we human fathers, evil though we are, know how to give good gifts. How much more our Father in heaven? It says in Psalm 84, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And then Paul says ultimately in the book of Romans in chapter 8, God gives us his own son. And if he doesn't withhold his most precious thing, his most precious possession, his own dear son, how will he not also with him give us all things? Do you see? If he's given us the most precious thing, he's not going to mind about those other things. God is generous. He's a generous God. So take refuge because he is generous. And fifthly, lastly, take refuge in God because he reigns. Because he reigns. Look at verse 6. David says, increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Now, I don't think that David is here expecting that he will never die. But God did promise David that he would have a descendant on the throne forever. In 2 Samuel 7, it says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. God has promised David that his throne will be established forever. Then we have a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, who came hundreds of years before the New Testament was written. He says, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then a very famous passage, which is often read at Christmas time, the prophet Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Then fast forward to the New Testament and you get an angel going to a young lady called Mary and saying to her that she's going to be pregnant and give birth to a son, and says to her, you're to call him Jesus. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Israel's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. You see, the promise to David of this descendant who was going to reign forever was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, the King of Kings. There was a famous theologian called Abraham Kuyper. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but he said, he put it this way, there's not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. Do you see the point? Every inch of this whole universe belongs to Christ. Jesus says of his Father, the Father God, not even a sparrow, which is not worth very much, not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of my Father. In other words, everything that happens is all part of God's plan. It's all under his control. It's all under his reign. Even the hairs of our head, it says, are numbered by our Father in heaven. And one of my favorite verses of the Bible, Romans 8:28, says that God works in all things for the good of those who love him. What better refuge can you imagine? One who hears us when we cry to him. One who is strong, strength that you can depend on. One who is gentle and intimate and loving. One who is generous. And one who reigns over all. And the only reason that we can take refuge in this God, this amazing refuge, is because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. The only reason we can take refuge in a God who hears is because there was a day when Jesus hung on a cross and cried out to God in a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? And God did not listen to the cry of his heart, his prayer on that occasion. And because of that, because God did not listen to Jesus on the cross, we can take refuge in a God who hears. Isn't that wonderful? The only reason we can take refuge in a God who is strong is because Jesus, in all his strength and glory in heaven, came down to this world as a baby. A weak, helpless baby. So, because he came as a weak baby, as a savior of the world, we can take refuge in a God who is strong. We can take refuge under the shelter of the wings of a God who is gentle, because Jesus, when he was on the cross, he faced the greatest of all storms, God's right anger at our sin. So that on the last day, when God judges the world and punishes the evil and wickedness and sin in the world, we can be safe, sheltering under God's wings, as it were, precisely because Jesus was outside of that shelter and was exposed to the storm of God's wrath. The reason we can take refuge in a God who is generous is because Jesus let go of all the riches of heaven and came to this world. And it says in 2 Corinthians, he became poor so that we might become rich. Now, it's not saying that we'll have a bank account full of loads of money, but that every spiritual blessing is ours because of Jesus. Every good gift, every perfect gift, and ultimately the gift of his own, God's own Son, and living with him for eternity in a paradise where there's no sickness or illness or death or pain. All that generosity is made possible because Jesus became poor. We can take refuge in a God who reigns over all because Jesus, the King of Kings, left all the glory of heaven. And he came to this world not to be served, Mark chapter 10 says. Not to be served, but to serve. And ultimately to serve with his life, to give his life as a ransom to save us. That's why we can take refuge in a God who reigns. And so the question, the obvious question is, why would you take refuge? Why would you seek refuge in anything else? Whether it's family members, friends, money in the bank, your own skill or ability, luck, having certain possessions, why would we go and seek our security in those things which are here today, gone tomorrow, when we have the option of taking refuge in a God who hears, a God who is strong, a God who is gentle, a God who is generous, and a God who reigns over everything. So take refuge in God. All of us, no matter where we've come from or our age, all of us need to be reminded, myself included, to stop seeking refuge in other lesser, weaker refuges. Stop taking comfort in other less satisfying comforts. And go to the rock that is higher than I. Perhaps you've never taken refuge in God. Perhaps you've never trusted in Jesus who makes this refuge possible. Why not do it today? Why not do it now? And pray to God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Let me take refuge in you. I need that refuge. And everything else just fails me, lets me down. So take refuge in God. Take refuge in God. And the right response to having this refuge, to hearing of this refuge, this wonderful refuge that we have, is there for us in verse 8. David says, "Then will I ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day." Well, in a moment, we're going to confess our sin, our weakness and unbelief, times that we've not trusted in God as our refuge. And we will praise him in song. But before we do that, let's take a moment now to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this precious psalm. Thank you for putting it in the Bible and putting it there so that we can know what a wonderful refuge you are. Thank you so much for all that Jesus has done to make it possible for us to take refuge in you. Please would you forgive us for the times when we go to other things for refuge, things that really, in the long run, are no refuge at all, that are not satisfying and not dependable. Thank you for listening to our prayers, for hearing the cry of our hearts. Thank you for listening to me now as I pray to you. Thank you that you are a God who is strong, that nothing can shake you like a cliff, like a rock. Thank you that you are gentle and loving and caring like a mother bird with her chicks. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you that you have given us every good gift and ultimately for giving us your Son that we might go to that promised land that lasts forever and enjoy being with you forever. And thank you that you are a God who reigns over all. Thank you that we know that you reign for good, that you are not some evil dictator, but you are a good sovereign. And so, Father, we do praise you for being such a wonderful refuge and pray that you'd help us today, for the rest of this week, for the rest of this year, for the rest of our lives, that you'd help us day by day to take refuge in you. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
I'm going to ask Nat just to come back up for a second and join me at the front. So we always have time for questions and comments, and today just a couple of comments, really. Just say one here. Thank you, Nat, for the talk. It was clear and helpful. And thank you, Nat, for such an encouragement and reminder to trust in God. And the other thing is just a notice that you can follow Nat on Instagram to find out what they're up to. So Nat, just tell us what do we look for? What's the handle?
I can't actually remember. if you just search for Nathaniel Ayling, probably it'll come up. Yeah, Nathanael.